The first scripture we want to read is Psalm 23, verse 3. Notice, because I'm going to give you three words as soon as I let you sit down to go with this. Let's read this. Third verse. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Key word there is restored. Restored. Okay? And then in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew's in the New Testament or in the Gospel, Matthew chapter 11, we say to you on last sitting that Jesus trained his soul with the word. In other words, he aligned his soul with the word. Here in Matthew's, this scripture, I always loved this scripture, but now, up to this junction, I see very clearly, I just got another revelation on this scripture about revelation. I used to read Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Just sometime this year, the Lord says, well, that's not the whole context of the scripture. He said you have to read the 27th verse. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 is a pivotal verse into bringing your soul under control. Notice what Jesus said in the 27th verse. He says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Now this last statement is very important. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Reveal him. Now the word reveal him is so important because the things of God has to be revealed to us. Then he goes on to say the other aspect of it. Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
All right. There's one rest. One aspect he said rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Now notice what he says here now. Notice what he says. And you shall find rest unto your soul. Soul rest. You may be seated. Write these three words down. Revelation, restoration, and then rest. You're not going to rest without your soul being restored. You're not going to rest without revelation. I want to say it a little different tonight because the baptism of the Holy Spirit was very expensive to the body of Christ, still is, because both ways it's expensive because a lot of the body of Christ have not arrived there yet. But they've been speaking in tongues. They fought it for a long time because they didn't understand it. And then I see that not understanding your soul is just as expensive. So I'm doing everything I can to make you understand how to function with your soul and spirit connected. So I said it a different way tonight. I'm going to go show you those five things again, but I'm going to give you a scripture for them that your soul consists of. But taking a hold of your soul is fivefold. I want you to write that down. See, because when you panic or when you seem like you can't wait on the word, you have a soul problem. Your emotion done got out of order, you're in a hurry. And I'm going to give you scriptures to slow you down that your faith can take. I like that. That your faith can take. See, a lot of things our soul rushing us in, it does not give our faith time to take. And so therefore come behind that is fear, panic, wondering, different emotion. So taking hold of the soul is fivefold. I want to say that fivefold so you can remember that there's five doors, five gates, five frequencies. Now, these are the ones that Satan is destined to use. And to a large degree, he is using them in the body of Christ because the body of Christ have ignored them because of a certain element of ignorance. All right? And so we're heavy with the word, but yet if you don't know how Satan tripping the word on you and how he's causing you not to be able to function in your spirit full blast because he's messing with your soul. If you can stop him from messing with your soul and know how to stop him from messing with your soul, then the anointing can produce the breakthroughs that you see in the Bible. So I'm going to deal with the emotion. Now, revelation is Matthew's 11:27. Restoration is Psalm 23:3. And rest is Matthew's 11, what scripture that was? 27, right? All right, okay. No, Revelation 11:27. No, come with me. 29. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest unto your soul. 29. See, that's for the rest. See, you got revelation, you got restoration. I give you the restoration scripture, I give you the revelation scripture, the 27th verse. He said, unless I reveal it to you, right? And then the rest in scripture here almost walk our whole lesson through the soul, how you do it. You align the soul with the word of God. Jesus said, you see what he said? Take my yoke upon you. Jesus said that. And what else he said? And learn of me. Then he said, if I'm meek and lowly in heart, then he said, you'll find rest for your soul. Well, all he's saying there is line it up with the word, have an understanding of the word. Now, these five-fold aspect of your soul, the first one we said was emotion, right? And feeling. I want to walk them. Before I go into emotion, I'm just going to take my time so you can catch your soul and Satan. Catch Satan when he's trying to use your soul.
Yes, sir. That's good.
And then not only catch him, know what to do about it. Okay. Amen?
Amen?
You listening?
Yes, sir.
You see, because we have lost many battles in our soul. Good, God-fearing, God-loving Christian. But if you don't know what the enemy is using against you, you can't stand up to him. Now, this is revelation I've been looking for 30-something years. I don't know why he didn't let me find it clearly like I know it now. He waited till after I took the apostolic office and showed it to me more clearly. But it's you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in the body. We proved that in Hebrews 4:12. You remember? Write that down if you don't remember it. Hebrews 4:12, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Romans chapter 12, 1 through 3. You're a Trinity, and that soul is there. And that soul has five doors, five gates that Satan consistently am to you. But if you can get the lock on those gates and those doors and know when to open them up, you're going to be better off. Amen? Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Now, when it comes down to emotion, he's talking about feeling. That's in your soul. Now, if you look at James chapter 1 for a minute, James chapter 1, I want this to be real clear. I don't want nobody guessing about this, not in this church.
Amen.
I want you to know. Because some of y'all have strong anointing, but they're not working for it. Your anointing not working like it should because Satan is robbing you through your soul. A lot of prayers you prayed, you would have the answer already. But some way, through emotion, through intellect, through feeling, through reasoning, through bad memory, Satan get on you and tell you you're not going to get it. In James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." All right, that's one swift. But it's too slow. Too slow that one swift is in his voice. And you know we're violating both of them. Because your soul is out of control. But once you see this, then you'll be able to handle it properly. Your swift things must be hearing. But then you got two things you must do slow. Now you remember one of our open texts, then Luke 21:19, say through patience you possess your soul. Through patience, you lose your patience, then you're gonna go on and say something you don't want to say. Say something, take 5 minutes, take 3 years to clear it up. Oh yeah. So say, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, or slow to anger." I didn't say you couldn't be angry, but be slow. In other words, slow enough not to let anger take you over. Because Jesus got angry. That's the emotion. Jesus got angry, but you have to handle anger properly. Now, you don't want anger to turn you into a murderer. That's what I'm saying. Then you look at the also at the 20th verse. You see, a man who don't have his soul under control, here's what's going to happen to him. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Satan got you right there. How many of y'all recognize one time or another you've been wrathful? Then you had to get back there and repent. You let somebody made you hot about nothing. What if somebody threw their finger out one at you? What difference that make? You gonna catch up with them, flag them down. Been there, done that. But notice verse 21 now. It helps us again about our lining up, like Matthew chapter 11 tells us Jesus wants us to learn of him and how he do things. Notice verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluousness of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which able to save your soul," like I say something, "able to tame your soul, able to train your soul, able to make your soul," you listening? Yes, amen. Amen. Your soul usable. Your soul is a powerful part of you, but it has to be trained. Only the word of God, you see Jesus, now notice that I see, Lord. You remember what Jesus said? Go back to Matthew and we'll come back to James because I'm seeing something on the spot here. What Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." And you see in James, they said in the 29th verse, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek. For I'm meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'm not proudful. And you'll find rest for your soul. Well, right over here in the 23rd verse. Now go back to the 21st verse in James. I just, I have seen two things here. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluousness and naughtiness. See, all that come through your soul. And receive with meekness, see, meekness. Because he's meek, you're going to have to be meek. With meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Enable you to keep your soul from flying off the handle. Yeah. Y'all know what flying off the handle is. Yes, don't act like you don't know what it is. And then in the intellect, the second part of your soul, how you're going to control it and what kind of words you need to put on it, that's that scripture in 1 Peter I told you about. Turn to 1 Peter. It's very important that we understand this. 1 Peter. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:15. Now we're talking about the second part of the soul, which is the intellect, which consists of reasoning. Satan will reason you out of faith. He'll reason you out of the will of God. He'll reason you out of the word of God, as if saying to you, you need to do something about that. And you really don't need to do nothing. Because the Lord said, I'll take care of it. You know, you done got in a feud and got fume coming out your ear. And you're in control already. Because you're the child of God. Now go ahead and admit my soul have gotten me in plenty of trouble. Just go ahead and admit it. Plenty of trouble. If you look at these five things we're dealing with, emotion and feeling, you know that. And then we're looking at now the intellect and reasoning. Here he says in 1 Peter 3, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason. How can you take that? Won't you do something back? I don't have to. I know who's using that poison. That's Satan. I take my authority under my breath. But I'm not going to get in no. You see, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. That is again. With meekness and fear. See, something about meekness. Your soul, there's a divine meekness you have to have. You're not a pushover. But you already know you're over. You follow what I'm saying? So you don't have to fight this little normal battles like an average person do. Because you've been promoted by the Spirit of God. Let them fight by themselves. Just watch what happens. Don't answer back. Don't get upset. Just let them tear you up. As long as they don't put their hand on you. They put your hand on you, hit them back. But words, let them say every word they want. And you just hold your peace and give it up to God and watch what happens. You see now, emotion, feeling, intellect, reason. Then I found, reading through the scripture, a good verse based on the third part of your soul, your memory. Your memory. We saw how David brought things to his remembrance. We know God said, remember the Lord thy God, he give you the power to get wealth. But there's a whole lot of things to remember. But there's a small verse in the Bible that hold a lot of weight. In Luke chapter 24, hold a lot of weight. I want you to have these verses so you can stir them and get your soul lined up and go on receive what you need to receive from God every day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every now and then open your mouth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now notice in Luke 24, I feel the Holy Ghost come on. Just calmly teaching the word, you know. Because I believe you're going to be helped. Most Christian soul is out of control. Not that they're bad Christians, but they don't know what to do with it. They put it on the devil, but it's their soul. Hurt my feeling. How your feeling get hurt? So here we're on the third one. The third one is what? All right, y'all better keep up in class now. Y'all gonna flunk the test. What the third one is?
Memory.
Don't just sit up here and be sucking this aisle up. We can have more aisle if you wasn't in here. Memory. The third one is the memory. You got to be able to deal with all five. Take hold of all five. To take hold of your soul. Taking hold of the soul is fivefold. So quickly you'll be able to, tomorrow, the next day, on a job, anywhere, quickly, by the Holy Ghost,
yes, sir,
and by the word of God that you have hidden in your heart, keep that soul in its place.
Yes, sir.
Now just as negative as that soul is just as positive when you're training right. It almost You know, I might be telling you ahead of time, but your soul is a fivefold weapon. Write that down. It's a fivefold weapon when you got it aligned and sharpened right with the Word of God. You can make every part of your soul answer to God. Now, once you learn this, you're not going to have no more bad days. Because bad days is Satan and you playing with your soul. See, because if your body act up, and want to have a bad day and feel bad, if you train your soul is going to correct it. Because your soul now have locked hand with your spirit. And your divine nature going to rise up. And whatever it is, you will have the ability to take it in peace. Are you following me? Are you really listening to me? Can I hear y'all over there? Hallelujah. See, a lot of battles have been lost in the arena of the soul.
Yes, sir.
And that's why the Lord kept telling us about it. See, he talked about revelation. He's talking about he's going to restore. He restores my soul. Notice he says he restores my soul. Then he leads me into green pasture. Then he leads me in the path of righteousness. Really, the Spirit of God. Now, here's one that hurts. Spirit of God cannot fully lead you without you understanding how to let the Word of God take control of your soul.
Amen.
So we've been led partially, but now we're going to be led fully.
Yes, sir.
This verse that with the memory, I just stumbled upon this verse today reading. If you read, you might stumble upon something. In Luke 24:8, that is right there. And they remembered his words. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do to keep the soul in line is remember his word. I read today, I can't put my hand, I called Montrell and told him about this scripture. Montrell is about to make some more band that God's word cannot fail. The blood of Jesus cannot fail. And another one we're going to make that cannot fail. But I call him that scripture where it said that the old man was talking. He said, many promises that God had made over in Samuel, he said, not one word has failed. And see, when you bring that forth to your memory, it may look like you're losing, but you know somebody lied. Once you get your soul aligned and understand these things, you're going to stop lying to yourself. Your soul will cause you to lie to yourself if you don't have it intact, all fivefold. Are you listening to me? Now, this is not hard to do. This is not hard to do. If you listen to me, you'll be able to do it. Every child of God, it's simple. The Holy Spirit is going to help you. You'll be able to do this. But you will be so powerful in the scriptures and in the realm of the spirit that you'll pinch yourself and ask yourself, where have I been? Satan cannot invade your spirit. Satan cannot steal nothing from your nature. Where you get it from? You get it from your soul, your mind, your subconscious. And they remembered his word. Now, the context of that, when Jesus had told them something, they finally remembered. But it's the same principle. Every scripture we read, he's telling us something. And he wants us to remember it. Remember the word before you make a move. See, a lot of times, we try to make a move with the word. But you have to remember the word. Remember what the word has said to you before you try to put the word on somebody else or something else. See, we have used the word at our own expense. We're trying to use the word, but we have not let the word take root in us. So therefore we say, nonchalant, you would never dare say it out loud, but it ain't working. Or maybe God didn't want me to have that. You saw in the book, did God say you can have it? He wants you to have it. But now when the Bible says, here's another scripture that's going to come open to you now. The Bible says in John 10:10, listen, turn there. Now you're going to understand this scripture better. See, where are you getting me at? If you can't get me in my spirit, you either get me in my soul and my body. So as you learn these fivefold taking hold of your soul, you're going to stop the enemy from stealing. See, the enemy steals from you when he catches you off guard. What do you mean when he catches you off guard? Not fully recognizing who you are. It's a moment, even though you got a lot of scripture, even though you got a lot of scripture you memorized, a lot of scripture you know, but if they're not coming up to carry the job out, and you're trying to use them to carry the job out, but they're not carrying you. So now you don't quote 8 scriptures, and Satan heard them all and slip around and win your soul and drop you flat, just flat foot drop you. See? What did I tell you to him? Yeah, the thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus said, I come that you might have life, might have it more abundantly. You might have it, you don't let the enemy steal from your soul. I see that. The thief come not but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He have to do all three of those coming through your soul. He cannot come through your spirit. Now, when your soul is not trained, it sides in with your body. So now you got three to deal with. You got Satan, your soul, and your body. But when you take authority over your soul and train your soul right, guess what happened? Your soul take partnership with your spirit. Guess what has happened? Your body have no choice. See? Your body have no life to work against you then. So Satan can't use your body anymore. Because now your soul, your memory, your intellect, your reading, your imagination, your will, all locked in to God by his word. Hello? Yes. This is why I say it's so spiritually expensive for the whole church not to be here. They'll set you a Sunday to have no idea what you know. They'll still be fighting these battles. You don't have to fight it anymore. You sit on the side of your bed and say, it's 5 of them. Let me see here. Who acting up here?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This shouldn't be. I shouldn't be losing. He said, I'm more than a conqueror. I shouldn't be losing. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's wrong then? Why I'm not winning? Why am I losing? I put every scripture I know. What a great discovery in the body of Christ. What a great discovery. Your imagination. Now I'm going to say something going to hurt. Go on the waste. You look in the mirror and think that's all you see. Go on the waste. You know, we know about pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination. What about using it? Using the good side of it. Look in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. I won't read the whole story, but show you what the Lord said. I mean, if evil people can use it right, bless God, I'm blowing up his blood, and he gives me an imagination, I can use it right, and guess what's going to happen? Nothing can stop you. Once you use your imagination right, see, that's in your soul. Look at 11 and 6, you see it? Isn't that something? They were doing the wrong thing. But they were together. And the Lord said, I got to stop. I'm the only one who can stop this. And guess what? Now listen to this. The Lord. Look at Psalm 84:11. Hold that in Genesis. Look at Psalm 84:11. The Lord will not withhold no good thing from you. He give you grace and glory. And he will not withhold any good thing from you. You see it? You see Psalm 84:11? Because you need to see that on the basis of training your imagination with the word of God and not backing off. Your imagination work along the line of faith. You have to see it before you can have it. You have to see it before it arrives. So Satan has been hindering your faith through your imagination. And the reason he often gives you his imagination, because you have none. Life almost, for lack of a better word, work like magic. It's actually the supernatural. If you listen to what I'm saying, you by internet, if you listen to what I'm saying, this is a masterpiece teaching to break the bondage of Satan at every facet. He's no match for a Christian who have their spirit, soul, and body under control. Under the control of the Lord. That's all Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3 was saying. Get your, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that's all it's saying. Get everything under God. Who called us then, well able to do it. Now I believe the soul have been keeping us out. I believe sometimes with the scripture we get one foot in, but the soul, make sure you don't get both of them in. It come up with some kind of tension. Look at this voice. Look at this voice. Let me see. And the Lord said, these people were trying to build a tower, you know, and it wasn't according to God's will. But look what he said. And the Lord said, behold, this people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. Now notice what he said at the end of this verse. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. If the Lord said that about these people who are doing something he didn't want them to do, how much more he will say about you and I, who got his word hid in our heart and working our imagination with his word. Can I get amen right there? Right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise his holy name. See, we say a good many things, a good many accolades to the Lord so it can drop in your spirit. Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at somebody and say, I'm going to use my imagination. Now, I'm not talking about no fascination. Fantasy. Right. Because you have no right to use your imagination if you don't have the word on it.
That's good.
Your mind has to be renewed. Huh? The Holy Ghost has to agree. So you may have to spend a time of prayer. See? We're not talking about waving a magic wand here because then Satan will trick us again. We got to consult with God. We have to consult with the Holy Spirit. We have to consult with the Word. Are you following me? Are you following me? Well, open your mouth then.
Hallelujah.
Habits, sin, bondage, all wrapped up in not knowing what to do with your soul. The devil can't possess you. If the devil can possess you, he can possess Christ. Because Christ lives in you. So them sinful things you may be doing is because you don't have no control over the fivefold aspect of your soul. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Then the will is so beautiful. The Lord made it clear in Philippians 2 about the will. I think the other one is Ephesians 5:17 said, be not wise in your own eyes, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. How you going to get to understand the will of the Lord? From his word. yielding to his spirit, knowing how to handle your soul. Let me see, can I expand this? Yeah, well, come on, a person that can't make no decision. They got to ask everybody, you know, get, if you think that's right. See, that person can go any kind of way. That's the way your soul is. Your soul can't make no decision. So if you don't make decision for your soul with the word, guess what? Satan make decision for it. It's separate that. Do you understand that? Listen to me. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. See, your soul is sitting out there. If you don't decide how it's going to function, it will not stay in neutral. You got me? So therefore, in those fourfold things I'm telling you about, your emotion, your feeling, your intellect, your reasoning, your memory, your imagination, and your will, they all need orders. Matter of fact, they need orders from your anointing. They need orders from what the Holy Ghost has breathed in you while you're looking in the Word of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, Satan is no match with you in battle for your soul. You can knock him out any moment. That's why he's a thief. He steals through ignorance. Satan gets you by what you don't know. Those of us who coming into the knowing, he won't be able to get us no more. That's my soul making all that noise. Let me get it back in the house here. Get it back in line. Come unto me. All you that labor, all this labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Where that rest found at? In your soul? Learn of me. See, I'm meek and lowly in the heart. You shall find rest for your soul. So we're talking about revelation. Then over the Psalms, he said, he restoreth my soul. In other words, bring my soul back in line with my spirit. My soul have capabilities to function, to be a partner with my spirit. But the Lord has to do that through his word. But I have to know what the Lord doing to cooperate with him, so I have to release my faith. That which is not of faith is sin. So I can't have faith if I don't believe. I have to believe that it's as he said, both in my spirit and my soul. So after much praying, there's still not enough results. It's because you didn't bring your soul in prayer. You're praying in the spirit without your soul. Are you following me? Now, your soul is not saved. You're saved or received. You're saved in your spirit. But yet this is the way God designed it. God is a Trinity God. He think if you read the scripture, love, faith, and hope. And you can look, if you look for Trinity in the scripture, you'll see it all over the scripture. Trinity is always saying three things. In that scripture I give you in Psalm 84:11, he says grace, glory, and goodness. He's a Trinity God. So you have to learn, you listening?
Yes, sir.
How to live a Trinity lifestyle. What I mean by that? Huh? You have to learn how to live out of your spirit, your soul, and your body. That's what he was saying in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. That's what he was saying. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'll get the will in a moment. The three most important scriptures you now is Hebrews 4:12, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, and Romans 12:1-3. Those three scriptures are the most important scriptures in your life right now because they're about to bring you to another dimension in the spirit. And they're going to begin to break scriptures loose that you've been hearing. If God is for us, who can be against us? All things work together for good for them and love God. All those scriptures. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. They all will come alive to you now. Because you know they're all based. Kusamangale shata. They're all based on those three aspects of scripture. You need the word of God to divide the soul and the spirit and the soul and the body. It's the only thing that can do it. It's the soul of the spirit. To the soul of the spirit to bring the soul and the body in play. See, that's why I don't let people. See, thank God had mercy on me. I knew a little bit. But people can't tell me you can't live right. And nobody can tell me, and I know the church going, somebody going to fall out, you can't live big. It got too many scriptures in here. So something wrong if you're still in the same place next year this time. It's something you're not doing. And I'm not getting mad when nobody moving. Y'all trying to catch up with them and see what they're doing. Most people get all upset because somebody's constantly going forward. And scriptures are being fulfilled in their life. Scriptures being fulfilled. So don't you know when you get angry with that person, you're getting angry with God? It's your soul that keep you broke. It's your soul that keep you living from paycheck to paycheck. Once you train these five, you're going to live according to the word. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5:23. If I got to go over it 15 classes, I'll do it. Because it's so important. We cannot pass this up. Because you see, we're way behind.
Come on, Dad.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the average Christian don't know this.
Yes, sir.
Not about these five. It's apostolic.
Yes, sir.
I got to train pastors now. Pastors that are under me. We got to get our congregation souls trained. They have to know what's happening to them. They have to know God didn't lie. They have to know that God still is an immediate and sudden God. We have to get them off constantly being on the waiting line. Or in the waiting line. It's your soul that keeps you in that waiting line. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
I'm learning something tonight. Say it.
Praise God.
Praise God. I got a few things I want to work on. You know, you get strong enough and say, soul, get back in place.
Soul, get back in place.
Don't be telling me that lie. Don't be shooting that feeling through me. Don't be shooting them reason through me. Don't bring me in memory why the other person failed. I use my memory for something else. Don't build no stronghold in my mind. Imagination, what gonna happen if you don't make it? That's that imagination. Don't slip your will in and make me think it's God's will. You see me?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You will be some of the strongest Christians in the world. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You will be strong. By knowing this, you will be strong, strong, strong. When he said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, you'll be strong now. You can't even wear the helmet of salvation right if your soul keep messing up. It's like flopping all over your head. It's a soul that get all up in your house. Satan come through your soul and just make mess. They can't walk together. An untamed, untrained soul, and a person living soulish, and think they're living spiritually, Boy, you got a problem on your hand then. Because they're quoting the Bible. The only thing about it, they're quoting it, but they can't live it. Your soul will interrupt every revelation the Spirit gives you. If you don't know how to make it obey you in what God wanted to, but you have to know how to cooperate with the Spirit and the Word to get the job done. You go back over your life tonight. You go back over your life, sit down. You go back over your life. Go back over your life. Think about some things that you aimed at and never received. Or think about some battles that you fought and lost it. Or think about some confusion in your life. Is because you're not swift to hear. You're not slow to speak. Because your soul is on the edge of your lip. Cuss him. Say something. Don't be stupid. Who are you talking to? On the other hand, God says, be still. And know I'm God. You see how I'm flippy-flop? I'm just showing you. You know these scriptures. You know these scriptures, but you have not been able to use them accurately. Are you listening to me? Now notice the scripture in Philippians. We're coming to the last one, and there's many other scriptures, but I'm just giving you one to equate other scriptures with. My. Advancement, adventures in the spirit realm, there you go. I promise you, if you follow these instructions, you're going to have an advantage over life, and you're going to have adventures in the spirit that you never had before. It is exciting. Life is exciting when the spirit and soul and the body is lined up. You see, because when Satan gets you to sin, all he want to do with that sin is use it to condemn you, kill your witness. Kill your witness. I was waking around a man and he cussed. Now, him and I have been talking about prayer and how much you love God. And all of a sudden, the job changed and he like I said, he hauled off and cussed. So I said to him, brother, you cuss? Oh, no, I didn't say nothing. Two witnesses said, yeah, you cuss. Now, that same man, I'll be working around him, he won't say nothing to me anymore. If kill his witness. He cussed. He killed his witness now. You know, the first thing I'm going to ask him, have you repent for cussing? Don't tell me nothing about prayer and how much you love the Lord and all that. Have you repented? You cuss out that same mouth. Good water and bad water can't come out of the same fountain. So he know he don't say that to me now. He don't even speak hardly. He cussed. You got a man in here was a witness to the cuss. The man said in here right now. The man said, oh yeah, you cussed, brother. You cussed. He cussed. You're a good man, but he cussed. And it killed his witness. And that came out of his soul. I know he's saved, but his soul not trained. Probably don't know nothing about none of this. He's a Baptist boy. Probably don't know nothing about none of this, yeah. Now, I'm telling you, listen to me. Look at me. I'm telling you the advantage that God has given you tonight. You will be able to stop every works of the devil if you just listen to me and do and follow these scriptures. Look what it said in Philippians 2, 12. Look at 12 and 13, because God can't do nothing for you without your cooperation. John Wesley says, that it seemed that God can't do nothing for humanity unless somebody asks him. John Wesley was the head of the Methodist Church. He said, it seemed like God can't do nothing for humanity unless some man asks him. So the same token here, you will not live your full, pledged, blessed life unless you know how to deal with this. I ought to ask one of y'all what the five things is. You're setting up your, taking all my time. Look like you're sleepy. But How you going to protect them if you don't know what they are? Say, Lord, don't let him ask me. I'm kind of nervous. And then good excuse. I'm not too good in a crowd. Catch me by myself, I probably can answer, but I'm nervous. No, well, you think the devil going to wait till you get by yourself to get you? You got to be able to deal with him in the crowd. In a crowd of unlearned Christians who got their Bible open and spitting scriptures out twice as fast as you and don't know nothing about his soul. Now notice this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi, not as in my presence only. See? Not in my presence only. See, once you got it, you don't need to be in my presence. You know how to walk in his presence. You talking about protected. Huh? You talking about provided for. You talking about peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. See? Could say whose soul has stayed on thee. Because your mind up in there. Oh, I had a little note for you. Let me read it. I'm going to read the little note, and then I'll close. The 12th verse says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. That's what I want for Word of Life. Good God Almighty, in my absence. Work out your own. See, you're trained. You're developed. You don't need me. Work out your own salvation. With fear. I'm going to train you how to work it out. Work it out, work it out, work it out, work it out. See what I'm saying? Then he says, for it is God, look at verse 18, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. My. See, I'll give you these little notes right quick. In Matthew's, go back to Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28, we'll close there. Go back to Matthew 11. I'll give you the five, we'll break them down. I got to keep working with it till I can get it, you know. But I believe we're doing pretty good. If you're paying attention, now you got to pay attention because you don't, and I'm not trying to be big, but you don't find this on every church on the corner. Matter of fact, some will argue with you about it. But they'll be arguing with this Bible. Huh? Because I want to show you something here. I did a little research about these scriptures here in Matthew's 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The Amplified Bible says this, I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. The 29th verse says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. One translation says, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and recreation and blessed quiet for your soul. Let me give you that again. Relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your soul. When the Amplified Bible, I think another translation, but it's another translation. I think it's the Message Bible. It talks about you will recover your life. If you let me train your soul, you will recover your life. I think to a large degree we lost our lives in some things because we're too powerful being. We know too many powerful scriptures not to be living more powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're too powerful a being to be waiting around for 15 years to find what you're looking for. Never let your soul take a stroll without you. Because it'll come back with some junk, boy. One translation said, I'll show you how to take a real rest. A real rest. Now, do your homework on this. Hold one hand up. Now, just if somebody have a finger cut off or something, I understand that. I'm not disrespecting, but this is the way to remember it right here. Five. See, when things not going right, you prayed, you repented, you got right with God. They ain't not going right, just hold your hand up, and then you go with them five. One of these five. I got to take one of these five into the room. Are you following me? I got to take one of these five to get me back on track because I am a winner, just like God. I am victorious. I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Satan no match for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within me. I have a right to live a kingdom lifestyle.
Soul,
be under the control of the Spirit.
Body,
be under control
of the Spirit and soul.
I'm a winner.
I'm sanctified.
I'm holy.
I'm righteous.
I'm living by revelation.
I am in the rest of God.
Never let a problem steal your rest.
From this day forward.
Satan,
you will not
steal from me anymore.
Didn't you
wonder how you living right and doing all the things, and then you have all the problems? And then you know, trying to explain it away, you know, say we got to suffer for the Lord. No, the only thing you should have is persecution. We shouldn't have all these problems. The problem, he's coming from your soul. One more time, he's coming from your emotion. Now, you know, we got a problem with emotion. Got a problem with feeling, you know. It's either fear, anger. Huh? And then if he catch you in your reasoning without revelation in your reasoning, without revelation in your emotion, without revelation in your intellect and your reason. In other words, your intellect and your emotion and feeling is under the control of your spirit. Therefore, now come the Holy Spirit. See, your spirit. We're talking about your spirit. But then come the Holy Spirit now. Now the Holy Spirit got something to work with. Because your spirit and your soul is in line with the word. Come unto me all you, I'm trying to close. Come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden. Now I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. How, Lord? Take my yoke upon you. And the yoke is his word, his fellowship, his relationship. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. Then he said this, and you shall find rest in those five places. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Find rest in those five places. Now tell two of your neighbors, I want you to have rest in those five places. Tell two of your neighbors. My. Yeah, my. Come on, let's pray at the Lord again. I tell you, Roger, you came at the right time, boy. Come on, what's your first name? Your sister. What's your sister's first name?
Hazel.
Hazel, yeah, I couldn't think of that. I told the Carol on that. Hazel, that's it. Hazel, you're coming at the right time. It'll take a while to catch on to all this stuff, but it's there. You got the scripture. And, a lot of changes is about to be made in your life. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. God's word is spirit and life, right? So I have an anointing to tell you a lot of changes, a lot of blessing, a lot of growth, levels breaking, going to take place in your life if you paying attention. Word of God said, my son, attend to my word. See, this word has to be attended to. Word of God says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, act what you're willing to be done unto you. Can you see that?
Yes.
God told us over and over again, God says, listen, my word will not return to me void. On the meditation, the Spirit of God said this morning, yesterday morning, he said, not only the word I sent out, the word you sent out won't return void. How many of y'all on the meditation does for? How many of y'all don't have a phone? Jesus, you're way behind. You need to talk to your soul. You ain't got a phone? You know, phone so now people don't use the house phone too much. I know some people let the house phone go. I ain't letting mine go. I got a bunch of them. Because I need a phone to find my wife. She got the intercom system. Carolyn, where are you? Big house like I'm living, you got to have some kind of intercom system. Or you'll be screaming. I won't be able to preach on Sunday. I'll be screaming trying to find you. We ain't got a whole lot of people to find. That was the only place we got left in Montreal. And he gone half of the time. Darnell came by the house this afternoon. He had two more gift games. How you doing, Dad? Shook my hand. We'll talk a few minutes. So I see you, Dad. Going back to his new wife. I understand. Praise God. Did you really get blessed tonight?
Yeah.
You're going to have to listen. You're going to listen to that over and over again now. Now I do hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and add some more to it of study. Very seldom my employees or my children walk up on me and I'm not studying or praying. Sometimes I got to stop because I know I got a family and I got something to do, but I got to stop. Just stop. Montreal came on the porch today. Now he left me on the porch this morning. Reading and praying. He come back this afternoon. I was praying again, sitting in that same rocker. So I just shut my prayer off, spoke to him. As soon as he shut that door, I went to praying again. So this stuff is not picked off the cuff, you hear. You are precious in the eyesight of God. Understand that. And God wants you to have victory. God wants you to be a witness for him in every aspect of your lifestyle. Don't waste this revelation. Don't waste this anointing. Don't let nobody get you angry right quick tomorrow. Catch a hold of that. The Bible says be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to rap. I have to catch myself too. I deal with more people than you deal with. But I know. Now I'm going to tell you, you got an announcement, right? You got an announcement about that girl husband, and we need to have that. Where you and Barbara at? What's the matter with y'all? See, I be slow to speak, slow to wrath. Soul will get you out of order now. You may sit down. Let's receive the night offering. You want to give something? I tell you, we had a move of God yesterday. Boy, they brought, I think it